And the prophet here says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me, and shall find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart." I want to speak this evening on the subject of the applied heart. The applied heart. Brother Stacy Meadows preached in our men's meeting last Sunday night, and he gave me a headache. He gave me a headache that lasted about 3 days. I have never heard anybody preach so loud in that room upstairs as Brother Stacy Meadows. It was good, though. He also gave me a truth. He's probably going to listen to this on the internet, so I better say something good here. But he also gave me a truth, or he opened up rather a thought. Did you ever have someone do that? They're preaching along, and they might not give you the whole truth, but they sure open up a thought, a theme of thinking that begins to take you into something that maybe you believe it, and you've practiced it, or you tried to practice it, but you never put it in words. Like he did, and he mentioned the heart and how important the heart was in our approach to God. And this is what he said that really was, I thought, a profound thought. Very simple, but a profound thought. And then, of course, I went home to check him out and to see if he was accurate. Not in a critical way. We don't do that. But we receive the Word of God, it says, with all readiness of mind. But then we search the Scriptures whether those things are so. We don't come with a critical mind and shut people off. We open up our minds and our hearts, but we take what we're learning and we take it home and we study it out. Well, that's what the Bible says. And in the New Testament also, it says, not only in Acts, but also in 1 Corinthians, it says, if a wife's got any questions, ask your husband when you get home about what was said. I mean, try to pay attention to the Word. He said he made this statement several times, and I wrote it down, and then this is what I want to check out. He said, don't apply the Word to your heart. He said, apply your heart to the Word. Don't apply the Word to your heart. Apply your heart to the Word. This immediately set off for me a word search, which is really easy nowadays with Strong's concordances, and with Bible computer programs. And I was learning some things about that this week on my little laptop there. I got a Bible program on there that really helps. I checked out these words here in the Bible, and they only appear 7 times. Every single time these two words, apply or applied, appear in the Bible, they are attached to the heart. They're never used, ever, in the Scriptures, but that they're attached to the heart. It'll say, apply thine heart, apply thine heart, apply thine heart, or he applied his heart. He applied his heart, and then it gives a whole bunch of things about it. And I just thought that was really, really fascinating. All through the Bible is a book about the heart. The heart is mentioned over 800 times in the Bible. More than any other part of your being, the Bible is a book to your heart. It's a book about the heart. The old saying, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. And that's something God is looking for constantly in us, to see if our heart is right with Him. A few weeks ago, I talked about the perfect heart. The pure heart, the clean heart. How important it is for us to have a clean heart. And the corresponding blessings that go along for the person whose heart is perfect, God will show His strength to that person. For the person whose heart is pure, God will show himself to that person. And the person whose heart is clean, God will show his goodness to that person. And maybe some of you have remembered that outline, the perfect heart, the pure heart, the clean heart. I just want to talk for a few minutes tonight on the applied heart. The applied heart. Christianity is a religion where the heart needs to be applied. Many times, besides these seven times, you'll read phrases like, with all thy heart, or with all your heart. Those phrases are found in the scriptures a dozen times. With all your heart, with all thy heart. That's how God wants us to approach him. He says we ought to serve him with all of our heart. Imagine that, serve him with all of our heart. We've got to be careful about our attitude when we're serving the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verses 13 and 14, and it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. Notice he says here we need to serve him with all your heart. He repeats that on three different occasions about serving God with all of our heart. In Joshua 22 and verse 5, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which God, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and serve him with all your heart and with all your mind. I wonder if we could be accused of that tonight. That'd be a nice thing to be accused of. For how to have someone accuse you of serving God with all your heart. 1 Samuel 12 and verse 20 says this, and Samuel said to the people, fear not, you have done all this wickedness. Now turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Verse 20, verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. So we're supposed to serve the Lord with all of our heart. We're supposed to turn to him with all of our heart. Joel 2 and verse number 12. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. I wonder if there's ever been a time in your life where you've turned to the Lord with all of your heart. We take repentance, I think, too lightly today. Man, when there's some real true repentance going on, there ought to be some mourning. There ought to be some tears flowing. That's what we turn to the Lord with all of our heart. I remember a season in my life where I lived in grievous sin against God for 3 or 4 years, and went to a missions conference down in Pennsylvania, and a missionary preached and got a hold of my heart, and I was revived in one sermon. And I remember going back to my brother George's apartment. He was a Bible college student at that church and Bible college at the time. I remember just bawling my eyes out for hours. My brother George thought I was cracking up. He thought I was losing. He didn't know what to do. He just kind of sat there with me, and I'm glad he did, and tried to pray with me and so on and so forth. But brother, that day I turned to the Lord with all my heart. All of my heart, I turned to the Lord, and I have never, ever rescinded on that decision I made that day. Have you ever turned to the Lord with all of your heart? Have you ever poured out tears and mourning for cleansing from your sin, realizing that you grieved the one who loves you so much? We need to turn to him with all of our hearts. And we need to love him with all of our hearts. Deuteronomy 13:3. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And then in our text here, he says something. This verse here blesses my heart, and I'll tell you why in a minute. In our text here in Jeremiah 29, verse 13 that we read earlier, it says, and you shall seek me and shall find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. This whole context, verses 11 through 13, is Jeremiah, but it's Jeremiah quoting God. And God is saying, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. What a promise. Now the reason I like this, not only because it's just an amazing promise, but it is said by God in the midst of apostasy. This is when Judah was at its worst. Jeremiah was the last prophet sent their way. They went in into captivity under him. And I don't know about you, but it's my opinion, America is at its worst today. There has never been a time when our country's been more filthy and more vile and more perverse than it is today. And I'm talking about how that has infiltrated even homes of believers in Christ. And yet it was when Judah was at its worst that I think he gave one of the most wonderful promises you can ever imagine. And you shall seek me and find me, and you shall search for me with all your heart. You see, this thing about the applied heart, this is talking to believers. This is beyond salvation. I know the heart is a matter regarding salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I know God works that faith and that true repentance in our hearts, and it's from our hearts that we believe. He gives us the faith to believe and call on Christ to save us. I realize that the heart must be in salvation. And again, salvation's not works or anything, but somebody that just repeats prayers from their mind or something, even prayers of salvation. There's people that do it all the time. They just like to repeat the sinner's prayer. But brethren, salvation is a matter of the heart. But I believe these verses here go beyond salvation, and it talks to us about our need to keep searching for God. Keep searching for the invisible God. Keep searching for the God who loves to hide himself at times for us so that he can reward the seeker. God rewards the seeker. Hebrews 11:6, he says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I said this morning in the sermon, Christianity is not for lazy people. You cannot be lazy and be a Christian. You can be a believer. You can be saved. You can go to heaven and be lazy. But you can't be a Christian. To be a Christian requires a life of diligence. And a person must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so he often hides himself as we journey through life, but if we diligently seek him, we can find him and we can see things about him. And as I like to say so often, I hope you understand what I'm saying, and we can get glimpses of God. We can get glimpses of God that other believers will never see. But he rewards diligence. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. I believe that's what Stacy Meadows was trying to teach us last week. And he's only been saved 10 years, and you can see God's working on him. And he told us that. He said, be patient with me. God's working on him. He's only been saved 10 years. I tell you what, he's a lot farther ahead than I was after I was saved for 10 years. This truth tonight about applying our hearts is the missing ingredient in most believers. Some try to seek God in their minds. Some try to seek God using reason. Some try to seek God using philosophy. Some try to seek God using science. Some try to seek God using inquiry. But God rewards those that seek him using their heart. Now, I don't doubt but that God dwells in science and real science. And I believe our God's a reasonable God. I believe Christianity is the most reasonable religion on the earth. And his commandments are reasonable. He wants us to come and reason and so on. He gave us our minds to use and so on and so forth. But the person who really gets to know God in this brief little life is the person who applies their heart. Applies their heart. Look at the text. And you shall seek me, find me. And you shall search for me with all your heart. And this was when Judah was at its worst. And God gives him a wonderful promise showing that, hey, I haven't given up on you. I want you to know. You know, when the church was at its worst, in Laodicea, Jesus said to them, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. I will sup with him. And he with me. He said, when the church is at its worst in the last days, he says, I still want you to know that I am the God. That if you want to seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. Even though everybody else maybe wants to be worldly or live in the flesh or entertain themselves or whatever, no matter how bad the church gets, no matter how bad Judah got, he gave some of the most wonderful promises at that time to those that will apply their hearts. Paul had that applied heart. He said, and we studied this last Wednesday night, chapter Philippians 3:10, and you know this verse, but he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. He says, I just want to know him. That's all. I just want to know God. Now, he's already saved. He's way beyond salvation. He's already saved. He just said, I want to know God. I want to know him in this life. The next verse, he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Wow, what a goal. He says, I want to know God in this life. I know when we get to eternity, I shall know even as I am known. I understand that. But I don't want to wait till then. I want to know God now, even if it means I have to be conformable to the death of Jesus Christ and give myself in as a martyr, and he did. He did. He said, I want to know God. I want to know God. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. This is another promise about the applied heart. We haven't looked at this one yet tonight. Deuteronomy 4, 29. I love this verse. Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Notice again, with all thy heart. Notice the applied heart. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him if, conditional, thou seek him with all thy heart. I kept thinking about what Brother Stacy said. Don't apply the word to your heart. Apply your heart to the word. And then I took that thought and I just established here the importance of applying the word, your heart. Apply your heart. You know what I mean? I mean, you can get up tomorrow and read your Bible in Deuteronomy 5, and Moses called all the children of Israel, saying, I stood before them, okay, good, got that done. All right, what's next? Breakfast ready? All right? Or you can apply your heart to the word tomorrow. Every one of us can do it. You can apply your heart. Instead of going through it, la-di-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, we can get up, and before we open this book, we can just bow in prayer, and we can say, oh God, please, I can't understand this book in my flesh. No one ever has been able to. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them for their spiritually discerned. For it's the Holy Spirit that teaches, oh God, please. I remember a great, well, he would have been great, I think, evangelist, Darcel McCoy. just horrifically and tragically killed in an automobile crash. Great singer, great preacher. I'll never forget a sermon I heard one time on studying the Bible. He just got with it. He was a black fellow. Went over to this Fairhaven Baptist College in Indiana. He says, "You people that eat your breakfast while you're reading the Bible." Man alive, that's what I used to do. I didn't do it after that. Man. He says, "How dare you eat your breakfast and slobber your breakfast down while you're trying to read your Bible? God's holy word." He went on and on and on. Man, he got with it. He got with it. Brother Darcel McCoy. And man, that sermon changed my life. You can ask my wife. I've never read the Bible since then. Eaten anything. Man, you got to apply your heart. This is a time where you shut down everything. You shut the radio off. You shut the television off. You shut the news off. And it's just you and God's word. Oh, God, show me your glory. Oh, God, show me something about you I've never seen before. And it can happen. It can happen. I had several people after the sermon this morning say, "Man, I never thought about that in my life." And that's how it is. I listen to other preachers and I say, "Man, I never thought about that in my life." And I get the Bible open every day and God will show you something. God will show you something in those genealogies. And there's things in there. We've got to apply our hearts, not just a few of our thoughts. Man, I don't know about you, but I have such a hard time with my mind. My mind starts to wander when I'm reading the Bible. My mind starts to wander when I'm praying. And we have got to get to where we apply the heart. So I took him to task. I said, "Was he right last week, Stacy Meadows? When he said, don't apply the word to your heart, but apply your heart to the word." And so I looked up all seven of the times these words appear. And in closing, I'm going to read them to you. I'm going to read them to you just as they appear in the Bible. And you'll see that these two words are never in the Bible separated from the heart. First one is in Psalm 90 in verse number 12. Moses said these words, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now you'd be amazed how many different things, synonyms are used here for the word of God. Wisdom, that's the word of God. The next one is in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 2. This was Solomon. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 2, "So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." Apply the heart. Apply the heart. Twice now. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 17. Proverbs 22, 17 says this, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge." Wisdom, understanding, knowledge, apply the heart, apply the heart, apply the heart. Proverbs 23, verse 12. "Apply thine heart unto instruction." Wisdom, understanding, knowledge, instruction. Apply the heart, apply the heart, apply the heart, apply the heart. I think so many people today are messed up, and I'm talking about believers because they've applied the head. They can give you the answers. You know, usually when somebody comes, not always, but usually when somebody comes for counseling, it's one of the oldest tricks in the book. You can read any counseling book you want. They usually tell you just sit there and listen to the person, and they usually answer their own question. If you let them talk long enough, they usually say exactly what they should do. Why? They had the knowledge in their head, but they never applied the heart. Did you ever apply your heart to wisdom? Those of you that are going to head toward relationships, you young people, you children, and you'll be the next generation of those getting married and having children, having families. Did you ever apply your heart to wisdom about that decision? I think it'll sure help you make a right decision. No, most people apply their hormones, not their heart. And then they're a wreck. Did you ever apply your heart to understanding? Did you ever apply your heart to knowledge? Apply your heart to instruction? And then over in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 25, again, Solomon, I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. I applied my heart to know, to search, to seek, to know. I applied my heart. I put my heart into it. Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 9. All this have I seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. What's he saying? He's saying, I applied my heart to trying to figure out things. You know, God is a God that blesses thinking. He blesses meditation. He said to Paul, or he said to Timothy through Paul, he said, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Everybody will see, hey, that man is profiting spiritually. That woman is profiting spiritually. Why? Because they're meditating upon these things. They're applying their heart to know some things. Solomon said, I want to figure some things out here. So he applied his heart to know wisdom. To every good work, he applied his heart. Ecclesiastes 8:16. When I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, then I beheld all the work of God. When I applied my heart. Have you ever applied your heart? Have you ever applied your heart? Have you ever come to a church service and really applied your heart? I'm just amazed at the number of people that have literally, I've seen people literally who come here who've heard me preach for over 20 years, and they've never changed. And they need to fire me and get another preacher. There's either something wrong with me or something wrong with them. Never changed. Never changed. Never applied their hearts. Now you go to the dictionary, the word apply means to give yourself to. As in the example of marriage, you give yourself to another person. It means to fix the mind to. Now, that's the dictionary. As in studies, going to school, college, something like that, you fix your mind to. But the Bible definition is beyond it. It's to fix your heart to it. To fix your heart to it. To put all your heart into something and say, I am not going to give up on this pursuit until I understand this. So I know what God means, till I see the wisdom in what he's saying, till I know how to apply it to my life and take it into my life personally and live it out. That's when we apply our heart. You get out of Christianity what you put into it. Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And that's when you know you've applied your heart, when you hunger and thirst after something. And that's when the television starts getting really ugly to you. Music and distractions, and you say, man, this stuff's keeping me from my God. Keeping me from his word. There's something God wants to show me today, and I'm not going to let this interfere with it. Do we have a hunger? There's an old saying, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And I want to say a heart is an even more terrible thing to waste. When God is just looking to reward the person who takes their heart and diligently seeks him with it. Again, our theme verse tonight, Jeremiah 29:13, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. With all your heart. Do you hunger and thirst after God tonight? Is there anything left in you, or is it all dead? There used to be a time you did. What about tonight? Are you dead inside? Man, why don't you start to hunger and thirst after God's word? I appreciate Stacy Meadows. It was worth the having the headache. Don't apply the word to your heart. Apply your heart to the word. Apply your heart. Apply your heart. Apply your heart. Every time it's used, it always mentions the heart. Apply your heart. That's what Christianity is about. This isn't a head thing. It's a heart thing. This religion of ours. It's a heart thing. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray now you'd help us. I pray the Holy Spirit would teach beyond what I said tonight, Lord, because I don't even know if I was able to explain myself very well. But I want to pray the Holy Spirit of God would just change some people tonight, change me. So the next time we pray, we'll apply our hearts to prayer. Next time we go to church, we'll apply our hearts come Wednesday night. Next time we open our Bibles, we'll apply our hearts. Next time we serve, as it said four times, serve me with all my heart. And we get some little children in a classroom, we'll do it with all our hearts. And you're a God that just blesses the person who puts their heart into it. Thank you for Brother Meadows. Thank you for your word. Apply thine heart. Apply thine heart. Apply thine heart. Solomon, I applied my heart. I applied my heart. I applied my heart. I applied my heart. And all the things you showed him and all the things you long to show us. If we'll just put our hearts into it, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's close the ninth service by singing 118. Need thee every hour. Most gracious Lord, when you find it, let's stand in your blue books, 118. Let's come. Let's pray.
I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can be.
Would you come tonight? Would you say, Lord, help me to put my heart into the Bible, into prayer, into my service?
I come to thee, I need thee every hour.
You come and pray. When was the last time you put your heart into something?
Thou art nigh, I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come.
As the instruments play, before we sing this third verse, you know, our kids, if we're in some ministry in the church, we got a little group of kids or a big group of kids. They know whether we're putting our heart into it. They know. They got that discernment. Sometimes in our marriage, they know if we're putting our hearts into it. Raising our children. Singing to the Lord. Making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Are you putting your heart into singing? The Bible says, make his praise glorious. We put our heart into singing. Our heart into thanksgiving, our heart into praying and praise. Sometimes the deadest thing you can ever attend is a prayer meeting. I just want to get up sometimes and shout and say, let's stop it. This is dead. This is more blah, 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 blah. Put your heart in. You need to have the old wall staining, knuckle busting, window rattling prayer meetings. Stacy gave me a headache, but he put his heart into that. man, I got a truth out of that thing. You put your heart in. Christianity is a religion, you got to put your heart in. I'm going to say a couple more verses. If you put your heart into your religion lately, your faith in anything, just come down to this altar and just resolve that matter with God. Put your heart in it. Sing the third. I need thee every hour you come. If you need to be saved, if you need to be saved, come now. Let somebody show you from the Bible how you can be saved. You can be saved from your sins before you leave the building by the power of Jesus Christ. Would you come? I'm going to sing another verse. You come. You put your heart into anything? I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder how many of you tonight can admit honestly that you're saved. Praise the Lord. I know I'm saved. Could you raise your hand? You know I'm saved. I'm saved. Put your hands down. Amen. God bless you. Well, does anyone here tonight, no tricks or anything, I'm not going to ask you to come forward or anything. I'll be glad to talk to you right after the service, though, if you want. This is so important. But I wonder if anybody could raise their hand so I could pray for you as we close, and you'd say, I don't know for sure if I'm saved, and I don't know for sure that I'm ready to meet the Lord someday. I'm ready for the judgment day. I don't know for sure if something happened, I were to die tonight. I don't know for sure that I have the assurance I'm going to heaven. I've got some doubts about that. I think I might go, but I'm not quite sure. I got some doubts about it. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you right now. Raise your hand right up. Be honest before God. I want to pray for you. I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure if I'm going to heaven someday. I've got some doubts, but if I could know that, I'd like to. Pastor, would you pray for me? Anybody? Our Father, help us with the message tonight. We pray in Jesus' name that you'd help us to put our hearts into it. Oh God, I think this world would see a different religion, different Christianity, a different faith, a better testimony. If they saw we really put our hearts into it. It wasn't just a Sunday duty, ritual. Lord, maybe tomorrow could be a new day. Maybe tonight when someone gets home, they'll put their heart into their Bible reading like they haven't done in a long time. Maybe somebody will put their heart into prayer, put their heart into their marriage, put their heart into raising those children, put their heart into their ministry, the kids, teens, adults, seniors, whatever they're doing in thy church, put their heart into trying to save a soul. God help to apply our hearts, to apply the heart. Bless our fellowship. Thank you so much for the safe return of our loved ones, our beloved from this trip. God bless their reunions now with their homes and families, and give them some rest, we pray. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we shut her down a little early tonight. I know some of you are tired. Thanks for coming. Have some fellowship with each other. Let me know if I can help you in any way. And those of you that work for the church, take a few days off, you know, just get some rest. You're dismissed. Amen.